Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we go, this is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. Sam what?
Slightly robotic there. Thank you. Welcome along. Friday morning episode. I've got some talc news.
Talc?
Sam, talc news.
Mate, you've got to be careful around talc. Talc.
Tell me why. Go on, before I reveal the news, tell me why.
Well, a stock is actually, it's quite serious. It's linked to some sort of quite serious illness, especially in girls. So, yeah, a lot of people have just discontinued use of it.
Well, there you go. I know that we've talked about talc before in the past. Mm. We talked about it in an episode in 2021, which was named Sausage Talc.
Right, there you go.
I don't know anything.
I know what that is. It was when that person sent a letter in saying that when they stayed at their grand's when they were kids, right, that after they'd had a bath, their grand would always talc them. Right, which is normal. It was back in the day. It's very normal. Talc was everywhere.
We'd all get talked. Yeah,
people would get talked.
We lived in a cloud of talc.
Exactly.
Permanent talc.
They call it the talc age now.
Yeah,
like, you know, you got the Iron Age and the Bronze Age, all that. It was the talc age. And he was Scottish. This bloke who wrote in, and I remember because he said that his he had to talc every part of himself because it was the only way his nan could be sure that every crevice of his body was fully dried and therefore impervious to chafing. And when he talked his willy, she would say, "Roll the sausage in the flour."
There you go.
So
it was. Mm. We also mentioned talc, apparently, in a yesterday's Hero Odyssey, talc and cologne tips. So we are probably one of Britain's leading talc podcasts, I would say.
Not
we've
just
established
podcast,
our credentials.
Just talc content creators.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't have to
in
be a podcast.
Medium.
Yeah, we'll go on YouTube, TikTok. We'll talk about talc on any format.
The broadsheets, before the arse fell out of the, you know, of print publishing, the broadsheets, most of them had a once weekly talc supplement that you could pull out. I remember The Guardian had one. But then in the end, it relied on ad revenue, various talc companies advertising. Mm. And when they stopped advertising, the Guardian just had to drop there. Sometimes it was up to 50 pages pull out just about talc issues. They had a talc correspondent, a lot. Talc editor.
Yeah. Celebrities, talc tie-ins, talc
Me and
tips.
My talc. They'd have a different celebrity every week. Like Alan Jones, Me and My Talc.
Blind talc dates. They had people that would go on blind dates together and in the end, the idea was that they'd end up talking each other.
Yeah, they'd do lots of articles on wild talking, which
wild
would be
talking,
about
yeah,
sort of
in the woods.
Middle-aged women who'd got really into just like going out early morning before the sun had even risen and just talking themselves naked in nearby, sometimes woods or whatever bit of wasteland they could find. Apparently, it's just amazingly good, not just for your physical health, but also your mental health.
Mm. Anyway, the news is talc's finished.
Damn.
Talc's over.
Fuck.
Mm. No more talc content from us. Johnson & Johnson will stop making and selling its talc-based baby powder around the world from next year. This announcement comes more than 2 years after it ended sales of the product in the US. And as you correctly said, there's tens of thousands of lawsuits from women who allege its talc and powder contained asbestos and cause them to develop ovarian cancer.
Oh, shit. I don't know why I laughed. I just didn't know that it was that bad. I mean, basically, even up to 10 years ago, it was popular on the sandy beach in the Isle of Wight because it was the best way to get sand off of you. So, you know, your kids, they come out of the sea, then they walk from the sea back to your beach rig, right? You set up your little beach rig. And whilst they walk, all the sand sticks and clumps together on their wet feet and legs. And then when you take them in the car home, they're fucking covered it. How'd you get it off? You know what I'm going to say, don't
talc.
You? Talc.
Wow.
Talc. I don't know if you've ever seen the power of talc over sand, but it's something to behold.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's like,
not know that. I guess I'll never know.
It's a shame that talc, you know, before you got to see it in action, talc's been discontinued. Because it was actually amazing.
Maybe this...
It was amazing. And so you'd get it and you'd stick it on your kids to get the sand off them and on yourself if there's any left.
Mm.
But then, like, yeah, my wife, who stays well ahead of health and safety concerns, like, you know, often catching them way before they've become popularised, she was like, look, I've done some digging and apparently it's cancerous, so...
Yeah,
better no stop talk. On the old talc. But I didn't know it was because it had asbestos in it. That's mental.
I mean, yeah.
Pad it out with some asbestos. It'll be fine. No one will know.
I don't think they padded it out. I think asbestos was the magic secret ingredient.
Sir John Johnson and Johnson. Many years ago, they came up with the idea of a powder, which was basically asbestos. But their branding expert said, if you call it asbestos, people will get worried. It'll put them off. Call it something else, like, I don't know, talc. Sounds a little bit more sort of benign.
Could we not call it talcbestos? No, we need to just lose the bestos bit if we can.
Just any call kind it of talcum powder, talc for short. People will love that. And if you just keep, I mean, you're going to have to write asbestos in the ingredients somewhere, but write it as, in smaller print as you can possibly get. Because if not, you know what people are like. They'll get their knickers in a twist. End of the day, asbestos or no asbestos, you should see what it does to sand.
Well, I hope there's some like footage of that going on YouTube.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I'm sure you'll be able to find it on YouTube, yeah.
Because I
never
like
filmed it
that.
When I was doing it to my kids, getting sand off their feet, but now I wish I had, because they're golden memories that we'll never be able to repeat or relive.
You want to try and capture them memories, don't you, for to stick on YouTube. Yeah, talc's over, and
big talc's fucked, isn't
big
it?
Big talc. Well, Johnson & Johnson is big talc, let's face it.
We are talc! The talc industry? What do you mean, the talc industry? We are the talc industry!
Can you name any of the talc manufacturers?
No, you're right.
Can't.
You're right. Because they fucking destroyed everyone in their path.
They've said, as part of a worldwide portfolio assessment, which itself is a phrase, we've made the commercial decision to transition to an all cornstarch-based baby powder portfolio. Cornstarch-based. And they've said that cornstarch-based baby powder is already sold in countries around the world.
Such as Azerbaijan, Albania, certain parts of Mexico.
Turkmenistan
and various other wonderful nations who have opened their minds and their hearts to the power of corn-based starch powder.
They're what we like to call the experimental nations.
The innovators. The fountainhead, if you will.
At the same time, this BBC report says Johnson & Johnson reiterated its position that its baby powder is safe to use, and they say our position on the safety of our cosmetic talc remains unchanged. We stand firmly behind the decades of independent scientific analysis by medical experts around the world that confirms talc-based Johnson's baby powder is safe, does not contain asbestos, and does not cause cancer. Having said that, we're changing the ingredients. We'll get rid of the asbestos.
He concluded his statement by saying, somewhat cryptically, roll the sausage in the flour. And then he winked at the camera and said, if you know, you know, and tapped his nose. Very strange. Very strange press conference.
Yes.
Keep on rolling the sausage in the flour, lads.
Sausage in the cornflour now. talc is mined from the earth. Where are the talc mines, I wonder? I need to know.
Yeah, they've
where
got
the
fucking
talc mines?
Loads of slaves in the third world working in talc mines. Terrible.
Afghanistan, India, Australia, Montana. Talc mines.
Oh, my God.
Fucking hell. I mean, it obviously got to come from somewhere, but wow. Yeah, so there you go. But that's obviously not acceptable anymore. A 2018 investigation by Reuters claimed that J&J knew for decades that asbestos was present in talc products. Oh, Jesus Christ. This could go on and on. Yeah. Talc is mined from the earth and is found in seams close to that of asbestos. You can mine for asbestos as well. I thought asbestos just grew
in your loft. I thought it was naturally occurring in attics.
It's like a natural mould, isn't it?
Yeah.
It grows and it insulates. Clearly not. We'll be getting some emails from people who are trying to correct us.
Oh, no. This is so ripe for... We really need to weed out the number of sort of Lampards and pompous old farts that listen to our podcast. It's so strange. But at the same time, it's not strange because it's just what, like, loads of blokes are like, and it's really fucking difficult to, you know, unless we had an all-female fan base, which I'd be all for.
Very much so.
But because women, we have never had a Lampardy email from a woman. Because they just don't feel driven to fucking correct or to constantly demonstrate their superior knowledge of trivial and dreary subjects every day. Because they got other fucking things to be getting on with.
Yeah, that's the thing. They rarely chip in unless it's something constructive or useful.
I just feel like we should have an automatic email reply that requires us not to read most of our emails because the automatic thing just comes back with one of those hand clap fucking emojis. It says, well done, you have proven yourself to know more about this subject than us, brackets, and possibly anyone else in Britain.
Go forth into the world and share this knowledge.
Go and have a fucking biscuit to celebrate, cunt. We're out of office. Andy's in his hammock.
Having said that, here's a nice email that's coming from Darren Faulkner.
That's better.
Who, and I make no apologies for reading this. He says, I have enjoyed being a despicable freeloader for quite some time, but it is time to join the IFS to ensure that future generations can continue to hear how we had it better than them and to say thanks to Sam and Andy for the countless laughs over the years. Mm. Cheers, lads. That's a good email, that.
Thank you very much. And I'm not for a moment suggesting that every bloke who listens to this is a cunt. Darren, for example, isn't. And even the pompous Lampardy guys are not necessarily cunts. It's just like, lads, just focus on positive things and joy. You know, like, ask yourself, why do you have this need to constantly share the fact you have to demonstrate that you know something? I know a thing. I know a thing that you do not know. It's just like, so, you know, it doesn't really matter.
anyway, back to the mailbag, because I've just seen this. It's a Dis and Dat update.
Oh, that's nice. We haven't had one in a while.
It's Dis and Dat season, isn't it, really?
Mm, and this really is from
David Spriggins. And he says, hi, lads. Upon arriving in Spain, I was walking through the airport. This is the title, COVID Pass, Dis and Dat. So you can imagine where this is headed. I was walking through the airport, and when it came to the COVID checks, an old woman next to me was struggling to pull her info up. The attendant, standing there, proudly proclaims, don't worry, it's random. and all four people supposed to be checking our COVID passes just started laughing and proceeded to not check any COVID passes.
Nothing to care, come on.
Yeah, COVID's over.
Dis and Dat COVID stories is a great niche sort of Dis and Dat that I'm really interested in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I said I was in America a couple of weeks ago and there was no sign of any COVID passes being checked at all when we got there, random or otherwise. So, yeah, I think it's all over. A few people anecdotally have been saying as well that they're doing the lateral flow tests and you're supposed to, if you're a good boy or a good girl, you're supposed to scan and upload.
Yeah.
A tidy boy for mummy.
Yeah.
You're supposed to scan and upload your QR code from your test.
Oh, yeah.
And add it to the database.
Yeah.
To the collective knowledge.
Yeah, my wife was always doing that, yeah.
Yeah. And there, a few people have been saying that the QRs don't work anymore. They don't get recognised on the website. It's just they've just shut it down, basically.
It's cosmetic.
Yeah, it's over. Just crack on. I think it's the vibe now. So what can you do?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it'll come back in waves. Probably in the winter it'll come back. So I'm not saying forget COVID, it's over. But I think for now, and I think you and I have always been pretty... we've not been at all this and that throughout the pandemic. We've kind of been pretty sort of observant of the rules and supportive of the rules. And often we've been, both of us, saying that there should have been more fucking rules and a lot sooner. Yeah. But having said that, I now feel like, I mean, you know, it's summer. People need to there's enough fucking shit getting in and out of countries anyway. The levels of COVID are not sufficient for us to also fucking tie the whole fucking world up in the extra travel bureaucracy and whatnot. You know, for now, the levels are low. They will go up again and then, you know, we can reintroduce the measures as and when, can't we? Yeah. I mean, there has been a few cases over the summer. You know, for instance, the osteopath Rod McDonald, the Rumpelstiltskin of osteopathy. Oh, darling, y'all. He oh, darling, y'all.
Rams his foot through the floorboard.
That's how he reacted when he got his positive fucking COVID test. He saw the little lateral flow and it came up and he just went, ah! Oh, darn you! And he stamped his little foot through the floorboards at my mum's rig. No, it was quite good, actually, because he couldn't turn up. He couldn't come to the Isle of Wight because he had a positive test. And that meant Oh, no! But at the same time, oh, yes. Because it meant we could go to the Isle of Wight, have a nice time. And then he finally did test negative. And he rushed over to the Isle of Wight. And it was just as we were leaving. Fucking dreamland, mate.
Fantastic.
I couldn't have planned it better myself.
Hey, I've just had a look. And the 7-day average is around about 150 mark of deaths. So it's not, 100
what?
150 deaths.
Oh, okay, shit, that's really bad. Sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah. Listen, again, if I, you know, that was probably a little bit ignorant and flippant of me. Discard everything, really, that I've said about COVID, because I'm not following it closely enough to have
opinion. The death numbers seem to have gone up quite a bit in the last month or so. They flatlined quite a bit in June and July, but they've kind of gone up. The last couple of weeks. So, yeah, get yourself ready. It'll be back in Avengers. Maybe the vaccines are wearing off. We don't seem to be doing vaccines anymore. I don't know.
Talking of me being flippant and willfully ignorant.
I mean, we've been flippant about talk and COVID already
well,
in this episode.
This. I chose an even worse subject last week because it was the women's football. Which I jokingly refer to maybe once as Doris Ball, right? But that was stupid. But the problem was that I really enjoyed watching the final, right? I'm not going to say I watched the whole tournament. I didn't, but not because I've got any objection to it. I just like, to be honest, you know, don't like football much. No, it's not that I just was busy. I didn't really think about it. But then obviously I watched the fucking final and it was bloody knockout.
I watched it in a pub
in the Isle of Wight and the place fucking erupted, mate. It was wonderful to see. It was wonderful.
I watched it in a fucking Florida hotel room and the room erupted.
Yeah, it was really great to be in this pub with people from all, you know, it was all tourists like me, all from different parts of the country, and all families were there together, you know. So it wasn't like a blokey atmosphere. That was one of the nice things about it. It wasn't a blokey atmosphere. Everyone pissed out their heads. It was all families in this pub having a bit of dinner. But they had it on big screens and it was, you know, mums, dads, nans, granddads, kids, all the rest of it. And, you know, it was just a really great atmosphere. And when the final whistle blew, everyone just got up and applauded and it just felt nice. And it was like, oh, yeah, football and celebrating football can actually be extremely enjoyable without all the fucking nonsense and aggression and fan part. Let's throw our beers in the air. Right. So that's one thing. The game was great. England's Lionesses were fantastic. But on the West Ham podcast that I do, which recently went behind a paywall because not my paywall, I was basically swallowed up by a bigger West Ham podcast.
It's like a West Ham channel, isn't it?
It's become like that. And the podcast that I've spoken about on this a lot, because I'm a big fan of it, they've become really big on Patreon. But what they've done is they've started sort of acquiring. They pay ex-pros like Tony Cotty and Martin Allen to do their own shows or columns. And then, because I know the lads a bit, they said, well, why don't you just put become part of our outfit? And because they like to put out different content all the time, different days. I mean, to be honest, Andy, I just look at it and I think, mate, you are creating a lot of ball ache and overhead for yourself here. Why don't you just get on the mic and talk shit every day like me and Andy do? It's much, much easier. Right, but anyway, they didn't agree with that.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
All that aside, I'd only just started doing this with them. And on something like my fourth episode, all I said to the bloke who I host it with was, throughout this tournament, I haven't been watching, but everyone's been telling me that the standard is unbelievably high. The technique of these players is great. And a lot of people have been comparing it to the very best of men's football. And I was like, that's amazing. It's come on leaps and bounds. I'm delighted by this. And so when I tuned into the final, I was expecting to see, you know, Pep Guardiola era Barcelona. And all I said was, it wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. That's all I said.
Right.
I enjoyed it.
That's a fair comment, yeah.
I enjoyed it. I supported it. And by the way, if it's not as good yet, technically advanced yet, as the men's game, well, of course it fucking hasn't. For many years, men banned women from fucking being involved in proper professional football, right? So there's a good reason, and the rate at which it's improving means it'll probably be beyond the standard. Its trajectory will be beyond the standard, the men's game, sooner rather than later. But all that said, I did say that I felt, coming to it off the back of a huge amount of superlatives that have been, you know, put its way, I was like, oh, hang on, I think you're exaggerating a bit. Because as much as this is great, simple fact is it is not the standard of top men's, like Premier League, Champions League football. It just isn't. So what? I don't care. Do you know what I mean? It's still good anyway.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, mate.
It is.
It unleashed quite the storm.
What, on social media?
No, but because it's behind a payroll, that's all right. But the Patreon comments underneath the podcast from just, you know, paying West Ham supporters, mainly female ones, understandably, weren't happy, mate. They were not happy.
So you've chosen to repeat those comments today on this podcast.
Well, I like to tell you things.
I would assume unleash similar.
No, because I think I've been very clear. Is women's football great? Yes. Am I a supporter of it? Yes. Was I delighted by the Lionesses' victory? Yes. Do I understand the reasons why it's not yet at the very pinnacle of technical ability. Yes. Do I believe that it will one day become as good or better in technical terms than men's football? Yes. Do I think some of the people exaggerated the current quality of it? Yeah, but I still think it's really great.
I don't want it to become as good, or well, not good's not the right word, but in terms of technical quality, I don't want it to become the same as the men's football, because it's got a kind of, it's got a level of, there's less speed to the game in the women's game. There's less aggression. Technically, it's not as proficient in terms of
sometimes
pass
mistakes
or whatever
are the best bits in games.
Exactly, that's what I'm trying to get at. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I mean, you've watched Champions League finals before, or like World Cup finals, where both teams are so elite. It's like watching two chess grandmasters go against
each other,
and it's boring.
Yeah.
And actually, I do think that Pep Guardiola's Barcelona is regarded, you know, as probably the pinnacle of the game in terms of its, you know, technical achievements. And I used to find them absolutely boring to watch, because it was just ping, 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 pass, 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 not going anywhere, no excitement, no thrills. So, you know, technical...
Tiki-taka, tiki-taka, tick, ding, ding, ding.
That's what they called it, didn't they?
My ding, ding football.
I prefer this and that football.
I'd rather watch... Some people would say that the women's game is probably on par with, let's say, non-league men's football in terms of ability. I would rather watch a women's elite game than a non-league match, because the non-league game is just the men's style of football being done at a low level, whereas there's more technical ability, and like I say, the game's a lot slower. There's not as much hoofing and hitting hope in the women's game than you would get at non-league level. But it's just a different game to watch. It's just a different style of the game.
That's the best way of putting it. But I'd just as happily watch it as I would men's football, to be honest.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. I don't know why I brought it up. I brought it up because I like to tell you things, mate. I like to tell you things.
I like to hear them.
I like to run them by you.
I like to hear what you've been up to.
You know, it could be like... It's felt like, in a way, it was like a return of the erstwhile item on the show, Delaney's the cunt, I think that's what we called it. A situation where I'd been a bit of a cunt. Now, here's a positive thing that happened this week, though.
All right.
A cunter by the name of Matthew Simpson finally delivered and installed my new garden gate.
Oh, well, you've given a name to him.
Yeah, I don't
think
he
given minds. A name. His parents gave the name to him, but you've named him. That's who he is.
I don't think he minds me giving out the name. He came to my rig, mate.
Okay.
I mean, there was a lot, obviously, there was a lot.
I know.
Not anyone can come to my rig. In fact, no one else can ever, right? Well, you can, Andy, if you're ever in town, but it's a long way for you.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, thanks.
So, by the way, my rig is not one where you have to take your shoes off.
Oh, that's good.
I find that unwelcoming.
I would offer to take them off.
All right, welcome, come in. Take your fucking shoes off. You filthy cunt.
Yeah, there's that presumption, isn't there?
Yeah.
You don't trail fucking dog shit in here.
Put these
fucking pig.
And also, put these gloves on, because I don't want your disgusting, germy hands all over
my goggles.
Stuff. Yeah. And this mask, because I don't want your breath on me children. Or my cat. Don't stroke the cat. Don't even look at him. he came round, he installed the gate. It was a wonderful gate. I will post pictures of it, perhaps, but obviously there's always the issue of zooming wankers, so actually I wouldn't.
Maybe do an artist impression.
I gave him a certificate
right.
that I was really proud of that said Cunter of Honour. I hope you don't mind me awarding him a Cunter of Honour. I gave him a Cunter of Honour certificate for gate-related services, right? So he was pleased with that. We had a good chat, and it was lovely. But at the end, I said, look, I've got to go now, because my family had gone round to some friend's house for dinner, and I was due there, but I'd waited back so I could, you know, oversee the installation of the gate and have a nice chat with Matthew. And I said, I've got to go. I didn't really, you know, we were really getting into it, having some chats about everything. And then I said, oh, God, I'm running late. I've got to go. He said, yeah, no problem. I'll just clean up and see you later. And so I quickly rushed out of the house, jumped on the old Vespa, whizzed over to this friend's house and had a nice dinner. When I came back, I said, look, kids, look at the new gate. Look at that. People question whether or not being a full-time podcaster is a legitimate or dignified way for a father to earn a living. But they won't be saying that now. They've seen this fucking gate that it's managed to land us.
Look what it's given us. Look what it's given
us. Look at this amazing lifestyle, right? Yeah. And so they were like, oh, coo. They were like, coo, like the Melchester Rovers fans.
Yeah, wahoo!
Wahoo! They're away! Right? What a gate! Look, father, does it open and close? Yes, son. Yes, it does. Let me demonstrate.
Upon your own command.
No, it's not voice automated like Alexa, no. It is merely a gate. But we walked
in. Analog gate.
we walked into the house. And in my my gate-related excitement, I had fucked off and left the house, leaving the back door open, right?
Wow.
Really bad sort of thing that my wife gets really fucked off about. I don't think I've ever done that before. Understandably. I don't think I've ever done it before, mate, in my life, which is unusual because it's surprising because I'm a forgetful, chaotic cunt. But that's one thing I've never done, but I had done it. And we walked in and I knew it'd be fine. No one's fucking prowling around the back gardens, right? But we walked in. They're like, fuck. Fuck, I left the back door open. And Len, like, froze and sort of held his arms out and started, you know, like when someone very quickly checks the parameter. He was, like, looking all around, I think, to see
intruders.
He sort of leapt into some sort of security persona, right? Right. And we looked around, and I was like, it's fine, nothing's been nicked. And Len ran out to the Vita modular, looked around, came back in, he went, right, the telly's still here, nothing of value's gone. And then he ran upstairs and said the following, the exact phrase, which has been tickling me all week. He goes, okay, nothing of value's gone. Worst case scenario, a dog somehow got in and shat on my pillow. And he ran, but he said it really seriously, and he ran up to his room, pulled back the duvet, picked up his pillow and examined it closely, went, no, we're clear.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good.
That was literally where his mind went straight away.
Yeah, of course.
He saw the back door open and his mind went to, what if a dog was just dogging around out the back?
Because stray dogs are everywhere now, aren't they?
Aye, aye. How would a dog have even accessed my back garden in the first place? They can't climb like cats.
Over the fence.
Aye, aye. Back door open. Wonderful. An opportunity for me to sneak into the house and shit on someone's pillow.
I bet they've got a kid in there that's got a pillow. And I'm desperate for a shit.
And plus, Len has West Ham bedclothes, so it could have been a Millwall dog, couldn't it?
Oh, Millwall dog, yeah.
Wow, look at this. This is fucking dreamland. They've got a little hammer in here with his shitty fucking West Ham bedspread. I'm going to lay a cable on that right on the pillar. With any luck, he won't spot it before he's sound asleep and inhaling the whiff of my shit.
I'm going to put down a marker.
I tell you what else happened that was good for Len though this week and me. He's been bored because me and my miss have been really busy and he's been, you know, kicking around the house like they do in the summer holidays. It can get a bit boring and miserable. And his favourite thing, like most lads his age, is FIFA. And he's been saving all year. He's been done a good job saving in time for the release of FIFA 23, which I think is late September this year. He has a countdown on his phone and everything, like a widget with a countdown right down to the second of how close we are.
Of course, yeah.
And he's looking forward to that, but of course that won't be until we've started the new school year. And he was just moaning, I ain't got anything to do tomorrow, I don't know what I'm doing. I say, I'm really sorry, mate, I'm busy, there's not much I can do. And then suddenly my email, while I was talking, went ping, and I looked at it, right? And it was from EA Sports, the manufacturer of FIFA. And it said...
We got this email as well.
And it said, congratulations, you have been picked at random to trial the beta version of FIFA 23. Use this code and start playing the fucker tomorrow.
Get on with it.
He could not believe it. Do you know what? He nearly cried. Honestly, oh, I've never seen something.
Yeah.
It was like the timing of it. Talk about Cosmos stuff, right? Because we were literally in the middle of the conversation now. He had nothing to do the next day, right?
And
how bored he was. And his main obsession is thinking about FIFA. When's the new FIFA coming out? What new features will it have? Mate, you've just been told that for free, you can trial the new version over a month before it comes out in the fucking shops. I thought it was a scam. Yeah. Googled it, made sure it wasn't. He downloaded it yesterday. He took pictures of the screen, sent it to his mates who are absolutely gutted. Can you imagine how fucking happy and proud he feels? Yeah. It's just one of those moments, mate, where you think God's intervened in the summer holidays here.
God's took a look and God said, you know, you've been security conscious, young Len.
Yeah.
You've thought about your pillow.
About and straight dog getting invasion. In and shitting on the pillow.
Yeah, you did the right thing and I will reward you with FIFA 23 early access.
Unbelievable. And I've had a little go on it as well, but not much yet. I'm hoping to play more over the weekend. I set up I like to do the create a club function where you create your own fictitious club but enter it into the real league.
Yeah.
So I set up Inter Barnes, right? And you can create your own manager with his own name and you even look, like dictate the way he looks and all of that. And that's part of it Len really liked. So I did Inter Barnes and I made my manager Rob Dickhead, right? And what's great is that when you then start the game, it's like it's a really elaborate sort of news sequence that they do where it goes,
yeah,
Rob Dickhead has been announced as the new manager of Inter Barnes. And this geezer who I've designed to sort of basically look like a mixture of kind of... I basically always make them look like a ruddy-faced Glaswegian because I figure they're always the best managers,
Best managers, yeah.
And he comes in and he just holds up a shirt and it just says Dickhead on it. And he's smiling and everyone's taking photos of him. And then he sits down behind the desk for the press conference and there's one of those little nameplates in front of him that just says, Dickhead. It never, ever stops being funny. And I can tell you, if you've got a bored 10-year-old around the house, it absolutely delights them. It's the best thing you can do for a young lad with time on his hands. Yeah.
Lovely
stuff.
So
that's good.
While we're talking about football, we need to bring back the Football Prediction League.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't do it last weekend because we were away. So the season commences henceforth. Are you ready?
I am.
Aston Villa versus Everton. Steven Gerrard versus Frank Lampard, of course.
Yeah. I reckon 2-0 to Villa.
2-0 to Villa. I think this is going to be... 1-1. Results, but of course, for everything, we'll predict 1-0 to the home team. To the home team. Wolves versus Fulham. I'll go first here. Wolves versus Fulham. 1-0 to Wolves.
I'll say 2-0 to Wolves.
2-0 to Wolves. Nottingham Forest versus your own West Ham United.
Forest 0, West Ham 1.
Forest 0, West Ham 1. I think there's going to be a big crowd and Forest are going to bounce back from last week. I'm sorry, it's going to be 2-1 to Forest.
It's going to be a tough game because I think it's going to be amazing at the City Ground. I mean, they've been gone for over 20 years. It'll be party time.
It will. Sunderland versus Queen's Park Rangers. I'll go first on this. I think this will be 2-0 to Sunderland.
I'll say 2-1 Sunderland.
Okay, and finally, Millwall versus Coventry.
This is what did for me last year, isn't it? Is that I couldn't ever predict a Millwall win. Do you know what? I think we should change it.
Well, this is results bots team, isn't it? Who do you want results bots team to be?
I think he should change to Newcastle.
No. We can't have that.
Why not?
Because then it'll be the same for me.
Yeah, exactly. That makes it fairer.
A neutral team. Okay. Should it not be Frank Lampard's Everton?
Yes. Should that not be his team? Yeah, let's do that. Well, we've already done that. Great.
We've done that already. That's for results, but We'll pick another match then that's going to be on this weekend. I've got to Google them. Premier League fixtures. This is great content. We'll see Man City versus Bournemouth.
3-0.
3-0 Man City. I'm going to match you there, 3-0 Man City, yeah. All right, there we are. That's the predictions. That's the episode, I reckon.
Quickly, and it is quick. Yeah. I forgot to say, but I've got an unsightly wart on my calf.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah,
I've gone to the chemist and said I need something. I'm not shy in chemists at all because I think, what's the point? I go in and there's a bunch of people waiting for prescriptions, and I just go, got anything for warts?
And got your leg said, up on the table.
Yeah, and they go, is it for you? And I went, yeah. And I said, but make sure that it's not runny because it's on my inner calf. So it'll all run down my leg.
It'll be suck.
So they gave me this new thing and it's fucking mad, mate. Because I'm looking at it now. Might put it on the turbo. That's worth the money, isn't it?
Yeah. I reviewed a bag of peanuts on there last night.
I know, so, I was a big fan of that. And so now I'm thinking, well, how can I match that? I might review this wart be gone potion, because it just is. It's like you read the instructions and it basically says, it's over the counter stuff, it more or less says, you know when you read the instructions to something and it's more or less saying, if you get this anywhere other than on the wall, you will die. If you get it on your furniture, that furniture will burn and be destroyed, right? If you get it on another part of your body, that part of your body will fall off. Right. If it comes into contact with any of your family, they will die a painful death. This is the most dangerous fucking substance in the world. Right.
Yeah.
And then you start to think, fucking hell, how tough must warts be that they have to sell this stuff that in the instructions, they're like, be super fucking careful. You know, I think warts are
incredibly tough.
It's just gone black. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I'll keep you posted. But I do remember that when I had a wart situation a few years ago, I mentioned it on the pod, the wart be gone thing. And we got so many messages from people with different old wives' tales of how to get rid of warts. And there was someone in Ireland who said something about, you say a special rhyme and then you go and bury a potato out back garden and the next day the wart's gone. Do you remember that?
Mm.
Do you?
Yeah. I'm saying, yeah, I don't really.
You don't, do you? Anyway, if you were the cunt who told me about burying a potato in the back garden and you remember that and you still stand by it, let me know because I'm in a situation here.
Yeah, we could. There could be some spin-off wart episodes.
We should do a wart special. Maybe we'll attract some sponsorship.
Yeah. If you've got any wart information, email it in and we'll try and cobble an episode out of it. Wart anecdotes.
Wart info.
Wart advice. Anything like that, yeah. Okay. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.